stay connected to Boston sports?
Who do you root for?
Connect with Boston's home for sports online. 98.5thesportshub.com.
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. The golf tournament has sold out.
Wow.
Whoa.
5 minutes is sold out.
Oh, that always happens.
There you go. Well, congratulations to the people that got in. We'll see you in about a month.
All right, you want me to take this?
Well, there's a couple of them.
All right, here's the deal. Is that intern Nick went to a bachelor party, and people screwed with him, like, the entire time that he was there. And, he meekly just allowed them to do it with no retribution. People have some ideas.
I mean, we're getting a couple of them. Like, there's somebody who tweeted me a picture, and this is brilliant, of this guy's office. And what they did was there's probably, 200, like, clear cups all filled with water, and his entire floor is lined with them. His desk is lined with them. So everywhere he goes, he has to actually pick up every single one of those cups before he can get anything done. Because otherwise, he'd spill all over the place and ruin everything on his desk and on the floor. So that's one, the pretty good one.
Is that at his office, like at work?
Yeah, that's his work office.
I would just kick everything onto the ground.
No, but his computer's there.
No. The stuff on the desk, but the stuff on the ground, I'm just kicking it.
That might not be such a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, like,
but then it gets him all wet.
My house.
But then it gets him all wet.
All right. I'm not going to sit there and pick him up and let you win. All right, Jack.
All right. Nick needs revenge,
now,
by the way.
No one should do any of these, especially this one, because this might be worse than blowing up someone's mailbox.
Yeah.
Jack, go ahead.
All right, so.
It was going to be a good one, too. All right. Let's take Kevin.
I just like how it was specifically diarrhea.
Oh.
Like, you know? Like, it was just.
Oh.
Maybe you should rethink those prepackaged meals.
Oh, man.
All right. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
This one kind of shows my age. I don't know if you're going to really pull it off today. And it's especially good if you have someone who has guests over the house. But Larry Flint would know about this. They used to have little advertisements in the magazine. And I had a friend who despised him, so he'd cut them all out, and they were cut into boxes, like little comic book squares or whatever. And what you would do is you would kind of, similar to the guy with the mashed potatoes, you would place those around the house with the little 800 numbers and things. And if you place them specifically, then they'll go around for about a year finding new 800 numbers and stuff of the sort.
Now, did the guy live with a girl? Did he live with his parents?
Well, we were young, yeah. He lived with his parents.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you would take Hustler ads and put them up, and the parents were continually finding, like, pornographic ads.
Inside CD cases, the butter dish.
And... Oh, that is great.
See, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, but the person has to obviously live at home or with a woman for that to work. All right, that seems pretty good.
I think living at home is pretty is better if you're living with a girl. Mike, go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, me and my old roommates used to be absolutely savage. I would retaliate. I woke up one time to my roommates trying to put my shoes back on so that they could torture me, and retaliatory. Hot slices of pizza in pant pockets, pillowcases full of fried chicken. We would eat chips over a passed out roommate's head just so the crumbs would, like, pepper their face and hair. One time I came home from a weekend trip to my room full, floor to ceiling, wall to wall, with the free promotional USPS 8x7 boxes full of half full beer cans. It was just on and on and on, and it never ended.
I knew there was an episode of Hoarders where somebody had all of those USPS boxes. This is like from ceiling to floor, yeah. Just the entire thing.
Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, hello.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
So we went to Atlantic City for my buddy's bachelor party for 4 days.
on the second day, we were completely obliterated, and I was passed out on the couch, and everyone was just messing with me. So we're in this little crap hotel, and the guys are all going back out, and they headed over to the casinos. I'm passed out drunk, and somebody comes back in and starts tapping me. So I grab a shoe, and I whack him. Well, it turns out it's a cop.
Oh, boy.
Lo and behold, an hour later, they finally let me out of handcuffs. So the revenge is I am an exterminator. I took a lot of dead bedbugs and spread them all over the people's houses. So they freaked out for months and months and months.
Oh, my God.
So they had to get everything fumigated and all of that.
Oh.
That is good.
Yeah, that's well, I mean, it's criminal, but...
Well, I mean, listen, we're not doing it. You know, by the way, the guy that lit the tree, guess what he does for a living now?
What's that?
A doctor.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah. Well, you know.
Successful.
Very resourceful. You
know. Successful surgeon.
Hey, it's problem solver.
Yeah. All right, this is... this seems like something a lot of people have done. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Yeah, have you guys ever given anyone an Apodaca?
I have not, but I'm well aware of what it is.
Taking a dump in the top part of the toilet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And just letting it sit for a little while, and then people will come back to it, and it's just a mess for about 2 weeks. So.
Because how often do you actually open that up unless your toilet's jammed?
Exactly.
Like, honestly, unless your toilet is jammed, when do you ever open up the top part of the bowl? You never do. An upper decker, which, by the way, sounds even better when said with a hardcore Boston accent. Upper decker, kid.
Upper decker.
You ever left an upper decker? Isolate that for me if you
want. One of the hardest I left on the air, and it was just, and it was something I was reading on MySpace, and it was someone talking about slatering, where you sit with, like, your torso, like, towards the toilet. So, it's like, you're sitting, like, backwards on the toilet. And the kid's mom came in.
Oh, jeez.
She's like, oh, excuse me. And he's sitting there like...
This was just mean. Someone said he had a buddy in high school that was kind of a douche. He said, we started slowly putting drops of Nair in his shampoo, slightly increasing each week.
Oh, that's terrible.
So he started to think he was going bald. By week three, he had no eyebrows and had to shave his head. That's not very nice.
No.
It's not nice.
No. It's disfiguring. Now, would you rather have someone that do that to you or blow up your mailbox?
Blow up my mailbox?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Yep.
That is a federal offense. I had another friend who you know, Rich, in Atlanta, and this isn't a revenge story, but it just tells you you can't screw with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They were building like a federal building in Midtown Atlanta, and he was drunk, and he took a piece of marble and like was walking down the street. And he got arrested, and it took like a year to clear everything up.
Oh,
and they
were
very seriously like threatening jail.
Yeah, you're stealing from a federal building, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's no joke.
It was like just this slab of marble, and he's just like walking down the street, and they arrest him, and they're very, very good possibility of going to jail. It took him a year to get out of it. I mean, he got something, but he got out of it. All right, who is this Boomer Esiason brought to you by? Stoneworks Roofing and Stormworks, right? Roofing and Restoration.
It's T&R.
I heard you like to party.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Simmons has it. Looking deep to half court. Bellinelli catches. Bellinelli gets a fall-away shot away. It's no good. And the Celtics have done it again.
That's how you just rob the bank, put your mask on. Kevin Hart, where are you now? Tell a few jokes about this one.
The Celtics score the final 7 points of the overtime. And a building that was an absolute cauldron has just had the fire put out. The Celtics have taken a 3-0 lead in the Eastern Conference semifinals with a stunning 101-98 overtime win.
Hey, give me a wee magazine!
By the way, just one more revenge thing, and it wasn't revenge. The guy just did it. This guy, Drew Stepik, that was in my fraternity, but he was older than me. His little brother in the fraternity, it was named Eddie. And for Hustler, Drew would have to review products, like, you know, sex toys and stuff. And he did one that we had all around the house where he said, Eddie Blank, the maker of such and such a product, in quotes from him about the product. So if you brought a Hustler, it was a fraternity brother's of mine's name as the manufacturer
of that,
of these particular sex toys.
Okay.
I thought that was an all-timer. Hustler magazine, maybe not the highest standards in editorializing.
Probably not. I'm astounded right now. I'm taking a look at, okay, so the Boston Celtics at the beginning of this series, Vegas had them, the 76ers favored. What was it? The line was like 370, something like that, minus 370. So, I mean, you would have won a ton of cash if at the beginning of the series you put it on for the Celtics to win. Now, once again, it is not over with.
Minus 370?
Yeah, dude, it was ridiculous. It was like minus 370. There was, Vegas had no faith in the Boston Celtics whatsoever.
I didn't think the Celtics were going to win the series either, but minus 370.
You see, yeah. But before the series started, I said, I believe the Sixers are going to win this, but it wouldn't shock me if the Celtics ended up winning. I said, I believe that they've got enough talent and they could give them a run for their money. It would be hard fought and it would go 6 to 7 games. What they're doing now is astounding. Like, I still, no one predicted this. But Vegas, when will they learn? So in game 3, they were a 9-point underdog,
yep,
against Philadelphia.
Yep.
All right. I know that they, and even though the first two games happened and the 22-point comeback and they had Geno time in game number one, they still said once they get to Philadelphia, everything is going to change.
That was a common belief that the young players of Philadelphia are more comfortable at home,
mm-hmm,
and they would turn it on.
So this is game 4 tonight. After what you've seen in those first 3 games, guess what the spread is this evening? -6.5. For the Sixers,
mm-hmm,
they think the 76ers are going to win by 6 or more points.
My advice is
tonight,
stay away.
Well, every game I say stay away. Whenever it seems too good to be true,
yeah,
stay away. But, I mean, when do you earn Vegas's respect?
Well, let's see if we can figure this out. I mean, the last two games, can we agree this doesn't feel like a 3-0 series? I mean, the,
yes,
last two games have been very close.
Right. No,
so what
I
Vegas...
I don't know if it doesn't feel...
No,
they
it doesn't
have
feel
stifled,
to me.
These two taken
teams
away one of their best
much
players.
More, these two teams are much more evenly matched than a 3-0.
You see, I would say that at the beginning, but now we know it's real. Now we know the coaching,
right, but if I'm Vegas,
outclassed.
If I'm Vegas, I don't know where all the action's going, but if I'm Vegas, I'm thinking, you know, this team, this Boston team has overcome huge deficits twice.
Yep.
And so, you know, how many times can they do that? Listen, I think Boston should be favored.
It's an elimination game. You,
yeah,
got to figure they'll play extra hard. They don't want to lose on their... I mean, this is very cliche to say.
Even if they're not favored,
Fred, that's one thing. But 6.5 points...
It's better than 9.5, which is where the line eventually was at the beginning of Game 3. It might have moved
to
9.
No, you're right. Game 3 was that. Game 4, I'm talking for tonight's game.
No. I'm saying at least they've given them 3 points.
Yeah, I guess,
but
so.
I would assume that the idea is that, you know, the Sixers have had big leads in 2 of the 3 games, in that it's going to be hard for the Celtics to get out of that hole. And like John said, you know, maybe the Sixers at home with something to prove.
I need Joey Moneybags or Dundeal Dan to at least chime in on this, because if they win tonight, if the Celtics win tonight, this has to be the first sweep in NBA history of a series where in every game the team that won was the underdog. I can't think of this ever happening.
There's got to be at least one.
With a sweep?
There has to be. At some point.
Where every single game the team that ended up winning was an underdog?
No,
I've never heard of this.
You're more plugged into that stuff than I am.
Actually, I'm not plugged in at all. But
well,
I mean,
you're of the three of us, who's Mr. Vegas?
Well, I mean, I've just been to Vegas a lot. Doesn't mean I'm like, I'm not, I don't bet
that
online.
That puts you ahead of Fred and I in this category.
To me, it just seems like that would be really, really, really tough to find another series as strange as this one and how it's all shaken out.
Yeah, as I said, these two teams are much more evenly matched,
mm-hmm,
than a 3-0 series deficit,
right,
would indicate. Well, remember when Denver was the 8th seed and they beat the 1
Mavericks?
Seed? No.
I think a Golden State versus
you're
the
talking
Mavericks.
About Mutombo beating,
yes,
Seattle in the first,
okay,
round?
Yes, Seattle.
Oh, okay, you assume that they were an underdog in every,
yes,
game.
Yes, yes.
I would assume that. But a 2 seed being an underdog, I will tell you this. A 2 seed being an underdog in every game, I would imagine, is fairly unprecedented.
It just seems at some point Vegas learns, okay, well, this team that's winning is obviously pretty good.
Well, they're better. It's funny, like, people will go, part of your job is to make predictions, and you didn't make predictions. I said, first of all, my job's not to make predictions. If I could make predictions, I wouldn't work. I would just bet sports. I'll take it. And then the other thing is if Vegas is wrong, I mean, they're the best at it. Let's go three. Tony, go ahead.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, what's up?
2008, the Celtics were underdogs in every game against the Lakers in the finals.
No. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a sweep.
Sweeps. I've never seen that before in my life where one team is dominated so bad.
Yeah, this is crazy. I've never seen this before. Not that it hasn't happened, but it just seems like the conditions in which it would have to happen are, I still don't know why they at some point during this should have been the one game where at least you just, what was it? How many points do you get for just home court in a basketball game?
I don't think
what's
it works
a swing
like
on that.
It doesn't work like that. It's not like football?
No. 6 points seems a lot. Well, there was something interesting.
It does seem like a lot. And I bet you Boston's favored if it goes to a game five.
Joe Murray said, when Dallas beat Miami in the finals, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a sweep.
Well, Miami did win four straight that year. Dallas won four straight.
Dallas was up 3-1.
I thought it was 2-0, and then it went the other way.
Oh, when Dallas beat Miami.
Yes.
Oh, okay, when it was the first LeBron James.
Miami won the first two, and then Dallas won the next four.
Okay, all right. Well, they did
Joe Murray hit his pick on the Derby?
We'll have to check with him.
He
had three that he was going to bet.
Moon, the horse Moon, didn't place, right?
Oh, yeah, so he was going for the trifecta.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, this was something interesting that happened yesterday. You know, after one game where it looked like the Pelicans might have a shot, where they somehow beat the Golden State Warriors, Golden State comes back and says, yeah, we were just messing with you and absolutely dominated.
I watched the end of that game. I couldn't figure out whose team was whose.
Okay, so the uniforms?
The uniforms.
Not only the uniforms, but the players on the court. Like, the players on the court at the end of that game.
You knew who Anthony Davis was. I mean, he looks different than all of them.
No. I knew who Anthony Davis was, but the players on Golden State that were out there, I couldn't figure out what was going on. The uniforms, everything. I'm like, why are the Hawks playing like the Pacers? I have no idea what's going on.
Well, this is one thing that I think people don't understand yet, and we've actually experienced this firsthand, Fred and I, is that if you threaten somebody's life on Twitter, that's a big deal. Like, you can't. It's as serious as actually going to that person and saying it.
Right.
So during the Golden State game, a guy by the name of Andrew Polk, who's a comedian, tweeted out, I hope Draymond Green gets shot in the face as soon as he leaves the arena, which, looking at the citywide stats, is like 37%. Okay, so once again, this gets picked up, and people are like, what are you doing talking about Draymond Green getting shot in the face? And so afterwards, Draymond Green was asked about it.
I don't. If he felt the need to do something like that about basketball, then I feel bad for him. It's kind of sad that someone would take this that serious. You know, when you're talking, at the end of the day, what's the game? And, making death threats, talking about life. And I just pray that he gets the help that he needs. Because I personally, number one, don't worry about it. Number two, don't care that much about it. Now, I care a lot about basketball. I don't care that much. And so, being that, we're in it every day and we're, literally blood, sweat, and tears in this every day, and it don't matter that much to me. It shouldn't matter that much to him either. So I just pray that he get the help that he need.
All right. Here's the deal. And I heard Drew Carey, of all people, talking about this. He was on an interview that I listened to. If you're a comedian and you're on Twitter, plug your shows. Don't try to do comedy. Now, the reason that Drew Carey said that is that the idea of setting the tone in a comedy club is that everyone's in the mood to joke around.
Mm-hmm.
They know you're not a bad guy. They know everything that you're saying is tongue in cheek. So you can do jokes about, and I won't even get it, but jokes about taboo subjects.
Sure.
The minute that is taken out of place, you could write a joke that you've been doing you could Twitter out a joke that you've been doing in clubs for a year. And it's going to get taken completely without that room and without that atmosphere. Now, what he said wasn't even funny, which makes it worse.
Right.
But just tweet when your shows are. tweet if you have something that's a fairly benign joke that's funny. Tweet that, because everything you put as a joke that people wouldn't bat an eye in a club is going to be taken by someone who's in their car or someone who's at work. You know, they're not in a comedy club drinking with, you know, you excuse a comic generally in a comedy club.
Now, you know, this isn't, because he said, I hope somebody would shoot him in the face. I don't even know if that could be considered a direct threat.
It's not a threat.
It's not, but, you know, we've seen that before. Fred and I have been on the other end of it.
Well, no, the people with us,
we've been told by our employers that if somebody ends up threatening your life, then you have to report it to them. And what happens is then they turn it over to the authorities,
and then they find you because they do.
They actually find you,
and then they find you, and then they go to your house, and ultimately you start crying and begging,
which actually happened.
No, yeah, it's happened. I think every time
it was a strange period where we got like a couple. I think it was when the Tim Thomas thing happened. Do you remember when Tim Thomas didn't go to the White House?
Oh, during the Tebow thing, I got death threats.
Well, the Tim Thomas thing, it was like he didn't go to the White House, and people, I don't even think we had said anything like one way or the other. We were just reporting it, and they were like, I remember one day I got two death threats. And, you know, that's no joke. So we ended up turning it over. And Fred's right. One of the houses they go to, and the guy starts crying and saying, don't tell my wife. Don't tell my employers.
One guy was a psycho.
And I think both of them were under names that weren't their own. And they found out who they were.
Once you make a threat, the police find out who you are. You're not anonymous. Believe me. If you threaten someone's life on Twitter, I don't care if you're an egg who did it with an email address you never use. They find out who you are. Believe me, they do. I mean, Twitter will give you up in 10 seconds.
Oh, this is a great idea. Someone said the Celtics should break out those stupid Eagles underdog masks for tonight.
That'd be
pretty funny.
Yeah.
But wait till they win. Like, if they win, sure, you just hand out the dog masks. Yeah, there you go, Philly.
What do we got coming up in the stack? I know we're going to have Bird.
Oh, we got a special surprise. That's right. The less I think that we mention it, the better. On top of that, we've got some other Celtics news as well.
Wait, I just am curious this. Bernard, go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah, you guys are talking about Vegas and the odds as if they're anti-Celtic or they're stupid or whatever. You have to realize they're just a reflection of the people who bet.
They're
not picking winners and losers.
No. It ends up with, they start with a number that they believe people will bite on.
Yes.
And then they start moving the line based on who's betting where.
Right. You can't just say it's completely based on who's betting what. They have to have some sort of basis in reality to set a point.
Agree that they'll start with a line that they believe they can get action on both ways.
Right. And that's their whole goal, is to get an equal amount of action on both sides so they don't care who wins.
No, I'm aware. Yeah. I mean, that's why I said I wouldn't touch tonight's game. I'm aware how that works. Yeah,
I agree. But let's just hope they still sweep it. But
that would be great. Get a team in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
And a team that's entertaining. A team that wasn't supposed to do anything. Even someone as cynical as I has been enjoying this. So we'll have that for you. Here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and we want to start off the stack with something special. By the way, very quickly, did you see what happened to Yadier Molina?
Yes. I think I have it. Nick, were you able to put that in?
That was not fun.
Yadier Molina is going to be out for a decent amount of time.
At least a month.
At least a month, because unfortunately something happened to him.
3-2 pitch. Ouch. Boy, that caught Molina and he's down. You know this, Yadier Molina is one of the toughest players in the game. If he's slow to get up, you know that thing caught him very, very square. It's coming 102 miles an hour anyhow. Then foul tip right back into him.
That is a 102 mile per hour pitch right in the nuts.
It's Kai Hicks, who has thrown 8 of the 10 fastest pitches in the majors this year. And then it gets deflected. I think Bryant was on. And then it gets deflected right into his nuts. It smashes the cup. And he's probably losing a ball.
So he wore a cup? And
oh,
it's,
yeah,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
still
if
smashed.
He didn't wear
okay.
a cup, man.
Well, I mean, there was, what's his name? Beltre, who got
yeah,
hit
yeah,
right in the
cup. If you're a catcher, it's a little catcher. Different.
But he would not, I know, catcher's tough, but he would not wear a cup.
No,
remember, he refused to.
No, right. And he got hit in the balls, and he still wouldn't wear a cup, and he got hit in the balls again.
Yep. Worst part is the sound there, because you heard both hits, the hit of the bat and the hit on the cup.
Yeah, it exploded the cup, and Benji Molina was saying that, you know, obviously, Molina's been playing a long time, that, you know, he's broken some cups before, but this shattered.
Oh, my goodness.
And, I was talking to this lacrosse coach at a high school lacrosse coach, and he said that he took into God, and this is high school. He said, "All right, everyone has a cup on this guy's like, yeah," and he's like, "All right, get a net, lacrosse."
Mm-hmm.
And the kid took a lacrosse ball to the nuts and had to get that taken off. He had to get one of those taken
awful.
Off.
Either
awful, awful.
How do you get in a lacrosse net without a cup on?
You don't.
I mean, you're old enough to know. I
you
mean, don't. You're in high school.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's bring in Bird. Bird, please come into the studio. As you all know, this past weekend we had the Kentucky Derby, which was the wettest Kentucky Derby on record. And on top of that, you had a situation where the ultimate winner was Justify. I do need to check with Gambling Joe Murray to see how he did. You do not need headphones there, Bert. You were going to put on the headphones that are right there in front of you. So we thought we would give it a try. We will do this live.
Live.
So you can press play right there and just say, wait until I tell you to.
Yep.
And with the call of this weekend's Kentucky Derby, take it away, Bird.
Oh, boy. All right, the horses are in their start line. Here comes combatant up to the outside of the Kentucky Derby, entering right now. And we're off. And we're getting ready to go. Here's your 143rd Kentucky Derby. There is one horse in the back that's went from left all the way to the right. I don't know what he's doing. He's in the back of the hall of all these horses. Justify is right after it. He's right behind. I don't know that's not the guy in his horse names. I'm waiting for the horse names to show up. They're running. They're running. Mud is flying everywhere in the horses and jockeys' faces. I don't know how they're seeing right now. They're just whacking these horses like there's no tomorrow. As they head over to the left turn, here we go. Promises Fulfilled in first, followed by Justify and Bolted to Oro. Good magic coming in third right now around the turn. With a neck lead. They're taking a left turn. The rain is pouring and there's mud everywhere. My goodness, how are these horses and jockeys getting it done?
As opposed to the right turn.
Promises Fulfilled in first, followed by Justify, Good Magic, Bolterado, and Flame Away. I like that name. Flame Away just came in third. Here we go. We got a tight race. Promises Fulfilled and Justify are neck and neck. Still going. This is so boring. This is neck and neck, and this is
it's
running.
It's the Kentucky Derby. It's not boring.
It's coming down the stretch.
It's exciting. 2 minutes.
Come on. I'm not getting excited yet. They're not even at the halfway point yet. Promises Fulfilled is still in the lead. Justify following. Flame Away is in third. Here we go at the final turn. Here goes Justify. Justify takes the lead around the corner. Head of the headline. He's breaking away from the pack. There he goes. Promises Fulfilled is falling right behind him. Here comes D-Bolt. Oh, we got Switch. Justifies it for us. Bolt just came in second. And Good Magic's in third. Promises Fulfilled is falling back. He's falling back. And we're on to this stretch. Justify is pulling ahead. He's got like a two-neck lead. Justifies.
This is kind of an important part of the play. Go! He's
what?
Wait.
Huh?
It's the finish line!
Alright. Yeah, he's a lead. He has like a two-link lead. It's like 10 yards in front of him. Justify is getting the rim. Justify is crossing the finish line. Justified wins! He was 143rd Kentucky Derby by at least two links. Blew him away. Good Magic, I think, came in second. There's people hugging. All rich people just getting richer. And that's all I got to say about the Kentucky Derby.
All right, Bird.
Justify,
Bird.
Still undefeated.
Yeah. Hey, Bird, why are there no women jockeys at the Kentucky Derby?
I don't see why they couldn't. Can't be.
Okay.
They're small and tiny enough to get on the jockey.
Okay. Of course they are.
They're sexist down there.
As opposed to all the other thing? Jockeys that's who right, are very
that's
big.
Right. That's right. I just thought you'd have some commentary on that.
Okay.
Right.
That's good.
Okay. You don't have to stop the tape,
yeah,
Bird.
That's right. That's good.
Thank you very much.
Good.
They're taking a left.
They're hitting the horses like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah. There is no tomorrow for some of those horses.
That's right. You break a leg.
Oh,
that's it.
Bob Newmeyer's going to hear you and wag his finger at you.
By the way, American Pharoah, you know, the star from, he won last year, right? He is living quite a life. Do you know that he has sex three times a day And if he impregnates a filly, they pay him $200,000 per every time he impregnates someone, which means that last year he made $30 million. $30 million. All he does is hook up with fillies all day, three times a day.
Yeah, you should see the guys who have the task of getting that to get going.
He has what's called an 80% strike rate.
Well, it sounds good to me, but I'll tell you.
That's Antonio Cromartie, man. That's impressive.
Yeah, it is really impressive.
I'll tell you, have you seen how they get that done?
No.
No, it can't be fun. Is it manually?
It is. There is an apparatus to which the horse mounts.
Okay, all right.
And then
they bring in the horse when he's ready?
There is a lot of manipulation by humans.
Yeah, I saw the Tom Green thing.
Okay, yeah. It's
I've seen the Tom Green special.
It's sort of gross.
Yeah, it's awfully gross.
You got to get super involved in it if you're the guy. But, yeah, that's where you make your money is the stud fees.
$30 million last year.
Yep.
$200,000 every time he impregnates another horse.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you make your money. You don't make the money off the Kentucky Derby. You make the money off the stud fees. Paramutual wagering is the way to go. We will come back. We'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way. Their reactions to everything that happened this weekend. We'll find. We'll have that for you in moments.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Rozier floats it to Jaylen Brown, who lays it in with 1.7 to go.
The Celtics are dominating the 76ers.
The Celtics have done it again.
And could sweep the series this afternoon. Game 4 of the NBA playoffs. Pre-game at 5:30. Tip-off with Grandy and Max at 6. The Celtics, the 76ers, on the home of your Boston Celtics. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. You know when you know a kid's going to be good at basketball? When he comes to practice with a button-down shirt on.
That's when he's ready to roll.
And better yet, a button-down shirt and khakis.
Oh, boy.
You say, someone is going to be the next Michael Jordan. Your parents put a lot of thought into this.
They got you well prepared.
That's right.
It's a kid who watches basketball, knows what it takes.
Yes, you are not dressed appropriately.
Oh, it's so great that we get a 6 o'clocker. This is awesome. It's going to be done and over with by like 8:45 tonight.
This is on top of a 3 p.m. yesterday. I mean, yeah. The hits just keep on coming.
And the great thing about the NBA playoffs is this isn't a 6 o'clocker where the tip-offs are actually around 6:30. Like, they have to keep to a schedule. Game 2 starts at 8:30.
Yep.
So you're going to... If you turn it on at 6:05, the game will have started by that point.
Now, the question is, I don't have any inside information into this, but suppose the Celtics win tonight and then Cleveland wins later tonight, when does the next series start?
Probably got to wait to the weekend.
I would think so,
yeah.
Although both Houston and Golden State are up 3-1 after last night.
Yeah, so they could both close it out tomorrow. Well, still, it'd be like Friday.
What's up with those headphones?
What do you mean?
Do they got lights in them?
No, it's just glowing from the... It's reflecting.
It's off the...
It's got like a red silver.
These are red
metal.
Different headphones than normal.
I thought they were like something you get when you buy a drone.
No. You control it with his mind?
No, just like you got like hot, you know, blinky headphones.
Mm.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
No. So 6 o'clock tonight, Felger and Maz get a nice little 30 minutes off, I believe.
Yes.
5:30 is your pregame with... Sean Grandy and Cedric Self-Love Maxwell?
Cedric Self-Love.
Somebody get me Fifi.
Okay, all right. See, usually it's food. I don't know why. Okay.
Get me a towel, a Ziploc bag, and some Vaseline.
Ziploc bag.
Yes.
A Ziploc bag? Same. Okay.
That's how you make one.
Okay, all right.
Okay,
sure.
Well, good. That's okay.
I thought that was prison talk, but either way.
Oh,
all right.
Alrighty.
Well, they will be
Someone get here. Me a Mr. Belvedere.
A Mr. Belvedere?
The redheaded lady was nice.
Okay.
She's hair looked like Cheetos.
I wish I could find that clip. Damn it.
Someone put a hole in the mattress.
There was 20 full seconds yesterday where it was just Cedric Maxwell making noises after play. And you could tell Granny was waiting for him to say something, but it was just like, ah, ah, ah,
it's all over.
Okay, all right, thank you.
All right.
There was a great name that was suggested. I don't even know why I could say it, so there we go.
Okay. Hi.
Ben Franklin is oddly erratic.
I was driving my kid to school the other day, and he's nine. Looks like Steph, but he's nine. He goes, Dad, what's wrong with that man?
Cedric Maxwell.
Well, we were listening to Steve. And we were, you were playing one of the clips coming back. From
Yeah.
Then one of those I had a Gucci Mane. It's Gucci Mane, by the way. It's not Gucci Mane.
Yeah, it's Gucci Mane. I've even accidentally said Gucci Mane, but I know it's Gucci Mane.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I grunt.
Is this 420 Craft?
Yeah, baby.
What's up, 420 Craft? How you doing?
That's cool with me.
Did you, 420 Craft, I saw you on Saturday night at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame broadcast on HBO.
Yeah, me and Tico Torres blazed before the show.
Did you really, Tico Torres?
I said, Tico, what's up?
Okay.
Want to get loose?
Okay. I think you probably did.
And I said, John's a professional. But afterwards, I'll tell you what, he took a nice reefer. Nice reefer out of the back of those jeans.
A little bit of grassroots going on there?
Yeah, chill.
420 Craft, did you hang out? Did you party with the guys afterwards from Bon Jovi?
Yeah, me and my blunt roller there. What's the guy in the striped shirt?
The blunt roller?
The guy with the Patriots.
Ernie Adams,
yeah. He just comes in, he rolls them.
Does he really?
Yeah, he's no professional roller.
Okay, all right.
What are we going to hotbox in this ride or what?
Yes. It's like Wicked Tuna, man.
Hey, pull up to the club. Let's look at... Ooh.
420 Craft. What are you... So you're saying that Ernie Adams is your king blunt roller? Is that what it is?
Ernie Adams. He follows me around and says, Ernie, hook me up. Crack it. Crack it. Get rid of that. Get rid of it. Fill it. Lick it.
Hey, Ernie,
give it back to me.
Do your job. Throw me a fat one.
That's right.
That's right.
I call this one Pat Patriot.
Why is that?
I made a bowl out of the Lombardi Trophy.
Okay, I see. Well, it's not really a place you can put a bowl in. It's a big football.
Yeah. No, you put your carburetor up top, okay. And then you got a little hole in the back.
All right. It was unequivocally the sweetest kush.
That's right.
Hey, 420 Craft.
When I say who likes a grilled hot dog split down the middle, that means who wants some of that sweet couch stuff. I love... This is a couch weed, all right? This is Gorilla Glue.
Okay, thank you, 420.
You know why they call it that?
Why is that?
Because you're going to be in the limo the whole night. You're going to be like, I don't even want to get out.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you, 420 Craft.
All right, what's going on with you, Scott?
I don't know. I just love when he goes to these events and he's got the jeans on with the leather jacket and the shirt untucked. And he's hanging out with the two rappers. And why does my phone light up? Like, what's he saying? When's he start hanging out with these guys? He's been hanging with these guys.
Yeah.
He loves it. He's in his 70s. He's going to do what he wants to do.
It's the greatest. I love Robert Kraft.
And he's got that smile face. He's looking back and forth. This one, this one's laying down some smack talk on this one. And he's like, I'm gonna be coming out with this new track, and you're gonna be tripping next time you hear it. And Robert's like, this is the greatest conversation ever, man.
I don't know about you, but this Hydra's got me going bonkers.
Yeah, for real. Robert says, yep, I'm down with this. Down with it. I don't know.
Ooh.
I think Ricky got so bored two games ago. She was on her phone the entire time and looking down at it. Remember the John Henry game?
Yeah.
Oh, there's fire in the air. And I think Ricky got so bored, Robert said, I'm bringing the guys. I'm
going to
get Gucci Mane.
He'll be chilling. I'm bringing my homie.
Meek Mill. Hey, who am I? I thought Meek Mill was an actual sawmill in Pennsylvania. Don't give
up the fight. So did I when I got through my second blunt.
Freshman.
Oh, God.
This isn't the freshman.
Even
that's the verb.
Even freshman. I hate this song.
No way, dude. This song's awesome. Who sings this?
This is Sublime.
Santeria, yeah.
All right. What's going on there?
Who's that other band when Hardy was DJing? 311?
That's 311.
You know that. You did that to be cute. Yeah.
No. Hardy, what song did they sing? They had some big jam at that time.
The big jam? Ooh, that does not come across the air pleasantly.
All right, what's going on with you guys?
We're going to do some sports, man. Beetle is on the train. Mr. Basketball. We're going to introduce you to Mr. Basketball from 10 to 2. He is in on the seas.
Mm.
I jumped on the bandwagon a week ago. I admitted it. I told Jim. I said, I'm in. I want this team versus Cleveland. I can't wait for this next week.
If that happens, I honestly have no idea how it's going to go.
Did you see the ESPN top 10 plays of the week on Sunday morning?
No.
All 10 were different angles of LeBron's shot. It's just all LeBron.
Oh, all LeBron. Jesus.
Play number one. Here's this angle, this angle, this angle, this angle.
I wouldn't doubt
it. And it's really starting to annoy Celtics fans. And
it always
why?
Has.
Who cares?
It always has.
Give them him. Yeah. Let them have him.
Gucci Mane would say, where's the would say, where's the Panama gold? And then
Gucci Mane did two songs at the post-game party. I
Meek
lost
Mill
my mind.
Would say, where's the Columbo? And I say, buddies. Let's rip them both.
Beto, remember Gucci Mane? He did those two songs. And left. He dropped the mic. I was snapping out at that time. I was fired up, and then he quit. You know?
You feeling it, 420 Kraft?
Turntables at Ron's
stage. Oh, yeah. This reminds me of the time me and David Geffen just went out on the yacht and just said, you know what? Let's blaze. All right. You guys enjoy yourselves. That'll do it for us.
Yeah, we have no guests. Straight sports talk.
All right. Well, I suggest you get some guests. It makes things a lot easier.
No, we hate guests.
Oh, really? I like
Billy Jaffe.
They talk. All right. Everyone enjoy themselves. That'll do it for us. Bye.